12/13, December 2nd, 2016. Okay, first item on the agenda is to approve the minutes from our previous meeting.
Kristen sent those around, y'all.
I move for approval. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion to approve the minutes passed. Therefore, we move on to item two. Comments from the public.
I don't think we've got any public here.
Any public?
No naysayers.
No public here, so we'll move on to item number three. 2016 director's election, including approval. You want to go ahead?
I was going to say, this is sort of more of a formality. As you can see, we don't have any voters out there right now, but every 2 years, under state law, two or three of the directors are technically up for election for your four-year terms. This past May, actually, Hunter, Larry, and Kyle were all up for election technically. There is a certificate that we file that says that there are no registered voters and that the directors then would be just rolling over for the next 4 year term. So actually, if you'll just go ahead and authorize us to file the necessary paperwork, their certificate of election, and then a new registration form with the TCQ for those 3 terms, we'll go ahead and take care of that.
Does that have to be in the form of a motion?
Yes, just go ahead and you can approve the items under the 2016 director's election.
If we're on the ballot, can we still move to
absolutely
go forward? All right.
Well, you can vote yourself in.
I'll move for re-election.
I second that.
To file the results. You already won.
Oh, I won. That's right.
Well done, Kyle.
The victory party
all
now.
That, yeah, exactly. All
that's
that
been moved and
paid off.
Moved and seconded to approve the items under item three, the 2016 director's election. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes.
Okay, and I think we've got some paperwork for him to fill out for his fourth term, for the next 4 year term.
Okay.
Great.
That's what the things I signed.
Right. Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Move on to item four. Proposals for establishment of district website.
Okay. So the City of College Station's Code of Ordinances requires MUD districts to have a district website. I had a number of conversations with her. We had been just submitting our minutes, agendas, and Carla, the city attorney, was posting it on the city website. Apparently, there were some city council members, though, that really felt like that they wanted to make sure this was an open process and that the district had its own website and that we would post agendas, minutes, even though we have absolutely no activity going on from a resident standpoint. They felt like we needed to have it, live up to the letter of their city ordinance. So we told them we would go out for proposals to establish a district website, and we got 2 proposals. It's very cheap to do. Mm-hmm. Kristen, I think, gave you copies of the 2 proposals. One is from a guy named Joe Hallmark, who lives in Cyprus, who we've used before. He's proposed a one-time fee of $250 to get your website set up and an annual fee of $625 to maintain it. He says he grew up coming to this racetrack, so he's very nostalgic about this district. And then there is another proposal, another really inexpensive proposal that we got from a website that does a lot of work out in Cinco Ranch called Off Cinco. Once again, $200 setup fee, $600 annual fee. But there are, when a district establishes a website, there are some things that necessarily have to be on the website. And we will work with the website coordinator to make sure those items are on the district website. One of those is a link to the Secretary of State's office. Ironically, Landowner's Bill of Rights, as far as what all your rights are, as far as if governing body tries to condemn your property. We have disclosures on the website that says that this is a, it is not updated. effective as of the date. We have lots of disclosures that we put on a website, and we have pretty detailed instructions that we will give your website coordinator as to what information needs to be on the website. It's pretty bare bones, honestly.
And that's all included in the $600 annual fee?
Yes, yes. So in order to comply with the City of College Station Code of Ordinances, we'd recommend that you go ahead and accept one of these proposals to establish a very bare bones, minimal website. And at this point, all we would post would just be your agenda, your minutes.
You got a recommendation between
the two? Is there a preference
one you want, Bill?
You know, I just wouldn't do off-sync just because that's in Katy. But I mean, it's a little cheaper, but I don't think that there's a lot to it, obviously, to set it up. Probably our kids could do it.
At this level, yeah.
Work with both of them. I don't think that there's a lot of it. And obviously, their contract, you could terminate it at any time.
Sure. But you've used Joe before?
We have.
Okay.
He's a little geographically closer.
Okay.
I mean, and y'all may have somebody, too, that you want to recommend. Yeah. I don't know whether you have any.
I don't.
No.
Friends that do web design, but.
I mean, if it's basically apples to apples, and it's about, and we can just, the price probably would make the biggest.
Sure.
Let's just, I say we accept the one with the lower price.
Off-sync-up.
So he's, what, $50 less? Okay. Prettier.
We're good stewards.
That's
right.
No,
you're cheap.
Your taxpayer money. You can always, it's not like this is a set in stone forever. You can always change your web designer at any time.
Okay. All right, so do we have a motion to approve the Cinco group to do our website?
Yes, motion. Right.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we employ Cinco to do our website design and maintain it at least for a year. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes to give Cinco the website design. All right, on to number 5, renewal of district's insurance policies.
We've also got a comparison of your this year's premium. Basically, all you do is carry the minimum, which would just be your directors and officers' liability insurance. Your bonds are in place, and then a minimal workers' comp and employer's liability. So it's you don't have any property right now to insure, so this is just a minimal amount of liability just to do business.
Mm-hmm. Do we all need to sign these, or is this who?
No, I have a signature.
You have a signature. Okay.
So we just need to get y'all to approve your renewal of your premium.
So it's just a carryover of a little increased premium, but that's about it?
That's it.
Okay. I'll move to carry forward the insurance plan that's in place.
Second?
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded to just renew the insurance policy we have in place. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
No opposition, so the motion passes to renew the insurance policy. Number 6, financial and bookkeeping matters, including payment of bills, authorized preparation and filing of annual financial report for fiscal year end November 30, 2016, and adopt budget for fiscal year end November 30, 2017.
I wanted to look at you guys. So I have one extra copy of my report if somebody doesn't have one. But on this front page, of course, you can see the deficit that we have as of today. Your developer has already handed me a check to cover that deficit. So moving on to page 2, you can see all of the activity that happened since last time we met. And just under receipts, you can see that your developer did advance us the $43,316.8. At the bottom there, those are the checks that I have for your approval today. They total $55,917.97. I do want to point out check number 0147, that's the insurance renewal that we just spoke about and approved. Then 0148 is our actually tax bond that I'm sure Alvick will mention in a moment. The next page is our budget to actual, and I'm showing you the period ended October 31st. We are a November year end, so this will be trued up on your annual financial report. It is showing excess revenue, but the rest of those invoices will hit for November, and you will have a borderline Well, actually, you should have a zero at the bottom. This last page is the budget that we're proposing for 2017. It's still pretty bare bones. Did consult with Tammy in regards, and she spoke to your developer. I think these numbers are a good place to start. We can amend our budget at any time if something else presents itself. But that's it. I just need a motion to approve checks for payments and to put the 2017 budget in place.
Is there a property tax that runs with these expenses?
It will eventually.
Eventually? So it's not included at this point as to
right. One of the taxes? Revenues, the sole source of revenues, because the city will operate the system, will be your maintenance tax revenues. Right now, obviously, you have not yet levied a tax, and so your developer is advancing.
No, I'm talking about for property tax back to the county. Is that an expense that's incorporated in?
No, the district will levy its own tax, and that will be the only revenue that will show up. Are you talking about revenues
expense.
Or expenditures? He's
talking about the property tax on property. Is that correct?
Yes.
You have no property right now.
You mean your director lot?
No, I was just wondering if there was an expense, a property expense.
No. No.
Okay.
So is it exempt?
No. I don't know. But you don't have any property to tax. My
okay.
district doesn't have any property right now.
Okay. Got it.
My district property would be tax exempt to the
okay.
extent we owned, like if you own a sewer site or something like that. So.
Okay.
Okay. And then I move for approval of the expense report.
My second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the expense report, checks to be written, and the budget for 2017.
And then authorize Rose. So state law requires the district to either file an audit or if you, I guess, have less than $250,000 that runs through your account, just a annual financial statement to the TCEQ, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. Rose will take care of that for you and file that.
Okay, so we just need to authorize
the keeper to file your annual financial report.
And can we just include that in the motion that was just made?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, therefore noted. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 No opposition. Motion passes. Let's move on to number 7, tax assessment and collection matters.
All right. I did pass out, obviously I didn't pass out 8 months, there's reports. We actually keep up with them monthly, but there's nothing there other than, because since you don't have a tax account that's open yet, the only thing is, you do have value that we keep up with Brazos CAD. But also I want to point out the $50 tax assessor collector bond that Rose talked about. By law, you have to have a tax assessor collector bond on your tax assessor from the district. I have my own bond on my company, which is millions of dollars. This is, you're talking about, the $50 covers like $10,000. That's the minimum you have to have.
Okay.
So what happens usually is that tax assessor collector bond is usually paid from the tax account, but since you don't have any money right now, everything's coming out of your operating account. With that, also, I have passed out on the report, you will see the report looks like this. Mm-hmm. On the second page, it has, on the second page, looks like that. This is going to be your historical page. You obviously don't have much history yet. So, but you can see, if you look on the very bottom, your value last year was $7.9 million. This year it's at $7.4 million. You do have some in more value in land and improvement, but you did lose a lot in personal property. Usually I'd go talk to the appraisal district. I'm like, where's that loss coming from? I haven't done that yet because I'm thinking maybe y'all are taking stuff out of this.
I can explain that real easily.
Okay.
Without being too negative on it, is the previous tax consultant for us had missed too much stuff, and we replaced him when we were able to get an accurate assessment of our personal property taxes.
Okay.
Which would be less.
Which was less.
By $2 million.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things, you know, obviously raises questions that will question if we had a tax rate. I mean, it obviously benefits your developer when, you know, if there's a tax rate, they're not going to be paying taxes on that. Also with that, I've talked to your engineer about kind of looking in the future on about, you know, when you want to set your tax rate. And this is going to be a conversation probably with your developer or your attorney, that we need to kind of know the plan on when development's going to come start. And we usually like to put the tax rate in place a year.
Typically, yeah, you want to make sure when your homeowners are moving in that there is a tax in place. You don't ever want to levy a tax after they get there, even though they will sign a notice to purchaser that they're aware that they're in the municipal district. So there's a time when, at some point, your developer is paying all the taxes right now, so it wouldn't make sense to levy a tax. At this point, when you anticipate homes coming in, that's when you would want to actually levy a tax and having the tax in place. So.
Yeah, and you don't have to do this. You don't have to make that decision till. I mean, you can do it as late as now, next year.
Okay.
So you will have a better idea at that time. So
yeah. Probably when the plats start getting cut and you start.
But I'll keep you all updated. I wanted to come since we haven't. I mean, I haven't seen you guys in 8 months.
We just launched them.
You just wanted lunch.
I wanted free lunch.
But your financial, but your tax assessor obviously gets really involved when you start having builders out there, and they make sure they go out there and they make sure that all of
them. Sure. And so there's no action required on that.
Well, you can approve his report. It's pretty minimal.
Yeah, it's minimal.
I have a motion to approve the minimal report.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to approve the tax assessment report. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nays? Motion passes. The tax assessment report is approved. Moving on to item number 8, First Amendment to Utility Agreement with the City of College Station.
As you know, you have an existing utility agreement with the City of College Station. They will eventually own and operate all the utilities. The customers out here will be customers of the City of College Station. The city has made the decision to start an impact fee program in the City of College Station. They want to adopt citywide impact fees, which is a change from when we negotiated our agreement with the city. When we first negotiated our agreement with the city, there were going to be no upfront capital contributions to their water and sewer system. The way that they were paying for any improvements to the system was through the water and sewer rates. They were basically capitalizing the cost through their water and sewer rates. For a variety of reasons, they changed their methodology and wanted to go an impact fee, and this is more information probably than we need. But an impact fee is a fee on new development. It's basically a new developer comes in, new user comes in, and to the extent that there needs to be an expansion to the plant, the new development that is generating the need for it would pay for that expansion. And that is the whole methodology behind an impact fee, is that new development pays for what they need, and you don't penalize existing users.
At what point is it grandfathered, a development?
Once you have, it depends on the ordinance. If you have already, if the developer, depending on what the ordinance, there are two times they can assess an impact fee, either upon platting or upon actual tap into the system. And the city ordinance will specify at what time they pay the impact fee. And if you come before that, then you do not have to pay the impact fee. So the city approached the district, and we were the only community that was not going to have to abide by their new impact fee ordinance. There was some equity concerns that the council had, that the customers in this MUD would not be bearing their pro rata share of those new improvements because it was going to be a citywide impact fee. In addition, I think we had some concerns that we want to make sure that the capacity is there when the development occurs, that there is going to be adequate water and sewer capacity to pay for the customers out here. So the compromise that was reached that's in this agreement is that the customers in this MUD district will actually pay a surcharge up to 50% of the rate to cover those capital costs for any expansions needed in the water and sewer system. So I think that was a compromise that worked for the development team because the capital cost was not built into their pro forma initially because mm-hmm. it was not anticipated. And it helps the city and especially their staff's explanation to the council and the council's belief that the capital cost would be equitably distributed amongst all the customers in the city. So that's the crux of this agreement. There were some other details that we worked through on the right of entry to Lick Creek Park for the sewer line. They wanted some projections as far as when we were going to need our capacity in the wastewater plant, which we agreed to give them. So those were the big items that we spent a lot of time working through.
Now, with regards to the impact, is it just water and sewer?
Just water and sewer. The district, because it's in the ETJ, right. Residents out here will never pay a road impact fee.
Okay.
It's an impact fee under state law can only be imposed in the corporate limits of the city.
Now, during the condemnation, we were talking about different sizes of pipes that were going to be possibly used as, include the landowner that we were condemning property or not. Is that going to determine some of the impact fee, or is that something that you're just projecting on use for here?
No, it's a citywide.
So what is that amount?
It is...
The city voted a $3,000, $1,500, is that roughly?
That's about the correct range.
Yeah, they voted a roughly $3,000 sewer impact fee and a $1,500 water impact fee. So if somebody builds a new house in the city or any place that they're serving, they have to write that check the day that they grab the tap and drives up the cost of the house. Ours is equivalent to that, but ours is spread through the rate over time.
So for how long?
Until it's paid.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not perpetual. Until it's paid. And it's a way of spreading that cost out over time. And the city has to, I don't know all the statutes, but there are certain statutes, they have to true up those numbers periodically so that they never are double dipping. Mm-hmm.
They have to do it every 5 years. They have to update their capital.
Right. And no interest to do that? Go.
No interest. So, anything, Mike? Anything else you can think of?
That's a straight cost.
So,
And I'll just say, from our standpoint, our goal is to try to deliver a lot of affordable housing. So every dollar you add up front in cost, there's a multiplier that affects that first-time or second-time homeowner's ability to afford that house. Mm-hmm. So it's just another way of spreading that cost so that they have a better entry into the market.
Because there was another cost that we've already assigned to that. Right? I forgot which one it was that we were going to carry into the land purchasers. I don't remember what it was. There was a development fee.
So there's still no capital cost for the water and sewer capacity to the city. The district is not obligated to pay an impact fee. The builder doesn't have to pay an impact fee every time per lot, but there will be this surcharge that will be added on.
My question is is the district going to pay that impact fee?
So
the city's going to allow the customer to finance this out over a period of time?
What they do is if you look at your utility bills, they'll say, here's this for water or sewer. Mm-hmm. But they'll have something in there like people in College Station, you're ready to start seeing road service maintenance fee, where they have these little extra fees that they put in that utility bill. This will have an extra fee in there.
Okay.
Up to 50% of the bill.
Up to 50, which is, by our calculations, we're talking about $20 to $25 a month.
Okay.
And so, maybe 30, I don't know, but it's, and that'll just be another line item on their utility bill that they will receive from the city, and it's really based on a usage calculation. So they have all this, the method to track that and collect it.
Before too long, our utility bill is going to be 4 pages.
So will that be an undeveloped property just once the plat, once you put a meter on it?
Or
When you put a meter, house on a meter, or commercial property, or whatever, that's when it starts being collected.
Okay. So they get a water bill.
Okay. And their water bill, yeah.
So what action would you like us to take to adopt this
amendment? First amendment to the utility agreement.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the first amendment to the utility agreement?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
So it's been moved and seconded to adopt the amendment. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes to adopt the amendment. Moving to item number 9. Interlocal agreement for the maintenance of roads with Brazos County.
So I will say the city has actually approved this First Amendment. So this is actually been approved. The county has not yet met on this interlocal agreement. But just to give you a little background, Brazos County is, at least still considers itself, a somewhat rural county and does not have the means in place to maintain concrete curb and gutter roads. The roads that they maintain are highways. Open ditch. So this is an unusual development for the county.
Rather county.
In most of the denser counties that have municipal utility districts, Harris County, Fort Bend County, Galveston County, the roads are always accepted and maintained by the county. The district has the ability to construct roads and finance roads and sell bonds to reimburse the developer for roads, but only for roads that are accepted either by the county or the city for maintenance. The city had no interest in accepting roads in its ETJ, and typically they do not. It would be highly unusual. And we ran into an unusual situation in where Brazos County would not accept the roads. So we had, once again, a lot of negotiations back and forth, and this was problematic for the district in a couple ways. One is that we couldn't finance the roads unless the county accepted them, and then the second is we had plat approval problems because the county also approves the plat. So what we agreed upon, and this is what we believe is almost the final version, is that the county has agreed that they will accept the roads, but they want to put the burden of maintenance of the roads onto the district. So the district does have the ability to sell bonds for maintenance of roads. We have voted a road maintenance tax. Law is a little unclear on when we can actually use those tax revenues. And what we agreed is that we would keep a maintenance bond in place for the maintenance of the roads until such time as the district can sell bonds for purposes of maintaining those roads. So,
or annexation
by the city. And the county can live with that. I think this is something that's acceptable to Bill. And in the event that, you know, in the short term, I think, you know, we can use developer advances and those funds in the short term if there were any road maintenance issues that came up in the short term.
I know it may be impossible to answer, but how quickly do you expect the city to annex?
By our development agreement, strategic partner agreements with the city, they cannot annex until 100% of developer reimbursables have been paid.
Okay.
So what you're just by that math, you're talking about 85-90% build out. If we took a normal model, you're talking 10 to 15 year build out. So they're actually prohibited to doing that before then. So it really wouldn't be till then. And in the maintenance of these roads, until the district can levy the bond or utilize their taxing for that, we would put within the road on the contractor, would have a road making, we'd have a guarantee. We always have a guarantee for a period of time, and then we'd have a bond put in there and probably be wrapped inside that contract so that, you know, the district would be in the position saying, basically, okay, before that we get this money in, we're going to claim on that bond if they needed to. Or the other side is that there's can be letters of credit that can be utilized. You work this out with the county. Or what happens is if something does fail out here and we, for some reason, are out of a warranty period and before that, the developer can advance money to the district for them to repair it, then that would be treated just like any other type of operating advance. So that's how you bridge with those three different mechanisms until that.
So that we had a working group meeting with the commissioners and mm-hmm. explained to them, you know, what a MUD was, what a municipal utility district was, and how this was going to work, and how we were willing to take on the obligation. So with this agreement in place, they have agreed to accept the roads for ownership.
So they've agreed the plat, you've already showed the layout, and they say these roads are acceptable to the county. And then they're going to maintain up to that entrance or, you
know. Yeah, they'll maintain up to the boundaries of the district.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then from there, the district, if necessary, will set up a bond sale to cover the maintenance fees.
Yeah.
Do we wait till the fees are, till there's an issue, or do we do that ahead of time anticipating?
Well, we'll have a bond, what Bill was talking about, we'll have a maintenance bond in place in the event that we needed to call on it to maintain the roads. What we've been talking to the engineers about, and Derek is going to hopefully get something next week, is really kind of a realistic maintenance schedule. I mean, there'll be probably be a couple of years before you actually get to the point of award, I don't know, a paving contract, and then there'll be the contractor always has bonds that they keep in place for several years after the roads are constructed, and then after that, you know, concrete roads, it may be 10 years before you need to get out there and do anything, and asphalt will be fine.
So I have a question. If we build these roads to county standards, okay, and
city
if the county adopts the roads, city standards,
yeah.
which they're, you know,
required to do, yeah.
So if that happens, is the city, I mean, is it, are they mandated to accept roads and with, and the maintenance of those
and
roads?
And that's a good question. So what happens is our development agreement requires the developer to construct the roads to city standards because the city will eventually own and operate those roads when
okay.
they annex the city.
Even though the county has decided not to maintain the roads,
right.
the city has to maintain
yes,
the roads.
Yes,
okay.
yes.
They
annex the district,
yeah.
the district will
yeah.
go away. You
yeah,
know,
the district goes away.
And they step in and under state law, the city will step into all of the obligations that the district had.
Is that sewer repair also or just road?
They're doing that already, sewer.
But it will include storm sewer.
Storm sewer, that's
on the roads. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
District will have to maintain that as well.
So, yeah. And if you really, it's basically a 10-year period from the origination of the district to when, you know, you start selling those bonds or using that tax. And so we're 2 years into our district. You know, we're a year and a half before we build our first road, and then we'll have that period of time of guarantee from the contractor and the maintenance bond, and then you start getting the other roads. And so really we have like a 6 to 5 year period of time in that construction that we're closing that gap, that we're relying on other things other than the maintenance or the bonds from the district.
Okay.
And so, you know, that risk window keeps on going like down, and we, on our major thoroughfares, you know, we're looking at doing concrete, curb and gutter. You know, this is not going to be a chip seal, open ditch, county road. And so, you know, in our storm sewer, good water control, stuff like that. So the risk window from a construction standpoint is pretty low.
Okay.
That's why I don't understand why the county wouldn't offer to maintain the, this low risk?
The county just, the county's really looks at it from the standpoint of what they expressed was two things. Is one is, we don't have the equipment.
Yeah.
We just don't have the equipment. We don't have the expertise. It's not what we do.
Yeah.
We've been a rural county. We clean ditches.
True.
That's it.
Well, yeah. That may change in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, when things really start
developing
so that, more. I mean, this could be, we're the sort of the first
And the second thing with the county is they know what the cost of their repairs are. They look over at a concrete road, and if it's a 4-6 inch road, they're going, what does that cost? We don't even, and because they have no history with it, they're balking from that.
So we can come back and reapproach it?
Yes, if it's 2-3 years from now and they start accepting the stuff, yes, the district go back and say, okay, would you consider taking this on now? Or if the county, like other counties, will allow certain contractors to do their work. Right now, Brazos County does their, and so there may be some changes. So, yes, it could change, and it's just not right now.
What would be the incentive for the commissioners to want to take that on?
Well, it's their constituents, foremost.
Right. And they're in the county.
And they are collecting county tax and putting nothing back into it from that standpoint. They're doing other services. So, you know, as ad valorem tax value is going up and their revenues, they can quantify,
this is
what we're doing. So I don't really have history of counties changing, but they can.
Yeah.
And I think that incentive will come from, who's sitting on the county commissioners at the time and what their constituents are saying to them. It will be a political decision.
Squeaky wheel.
So this motion has nothing to do with setting up a bond at this point.
But what we are agreeing to do is fund any road repairs that need to be done. And it's a district obligation as opposed to a county.
Yeah.
And you have stated that the county has voted and agreed on this amendment.
The city has. The county hasn't.
No, the county has not. The county.
I'm talking about to adopt the roads without the maintenance, streets, correct?
Well, they've not voted on it. We had a workshop, they agreed to the concept, and they authorized the county attorney to work with us.
Okay.
And I've had a number of conversations with the county attorney, we've exchanged drafts, we think we're close, but if things change dramatically, we'll come back to the board, but we believe this is the substantially final draft of the agreement.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're supposed to meet, the second week in December on this issue. The county attorney told me that they could put it on the commissioner's court agenda.
Okay.
Things change. It's different than what we adopted today. We'll come back to the board to get approval.
Okay, I'll move for acceptance of the adoption of this agreement for the maintenance of roads.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded to adopt the agreement for the maintenance of the roads as stated. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes to accept the agreement, adopt the agreement for the maintenance of the roads. Okay, item number 10, report on development in the district. Accept waivers of special appraisal and approve development financing agreements and any necessary assignments thereof.
And from a development report, This is the preliminary plan being vetted with the city of College Station right now. We are close to getting to Planning and Zoning Commission. Probably it'll be in January to get this approved. And that's per our development agreement. We have to go through that process.
This is phase one?
This is all, everything.
This is all phases.
We don't really have phasing on this, but most likely it'll be this section outside the speedway over here. We are, our lots right now that we're looking at are standardized 50-foot lots by about 115, 120 depth. We are targeting a home price. What we want is a 250 to 350 home price. Mm-hmm. In this market, in College Station ISD, for new development, that product doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. The supply is essentially gone. There are other developments that have come on, and they're delivering higher-end housing, or they're still doing the estate lot types of things. But to have, you know, a that type of price point in a master plan community with these types of amenities, and if you want to be in College Station ISD, effectively doesn't exist anymore in this market. And so that's what we are, that this design is to deliver that product with certain types of amenities that first time or that move up home buyer can have a nice, good house and be in our community.
What kind of amenities?
Well, we have, our biggest amenities are, if you go from outside in, we have a looping trail system. Okay. And the full looping trail system is some, and these are detention ponds, and those detention ponds can be dry or wet depending on our final engineering. But if you kind of think about, if anybody's walked through Lickery Park, you know, you're gonna have a permeable base trail system that will be all the way around this whole development. We're gonna look at in this area right up here in the, this is gonna be the northeast corner. I call it our little Lickery Park. That's just what I call it. We're going to keep it wooded. This is actually where we have Navasota Lady Trusses in here. And this will be a place where mom, dad, kids can get out away from the subdivision and walk around in trees and enjoy something. And so somebody could come out of one section. You know, they could do a quarter mile loop and be back at their house, or they could do a big full loop all the way around. Depends on how much they want to get out of their house, you know, and for what reasons.
Things
are. Yeah, you know, come home, mom says, I'm getting out. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Interior, what we have is we'll push everything to the interior, to this turnabout. And so what this does is we have a rec center that we've built here, kind of more of a traditional rec center with a pool or splash pad. We'll have a neighborhood park over here. And this site, if it becomes a College Station ISD site, would be a school site. That school.
How many acres is this?
This is 15.6.
Okay.
And so what happens is when somebody comes down our main boulevard, they're pushed to here to turn out to go to whatever section they want to, or they're coming back into the rec center or the school site or exiting. Mm-hmm. So it's rather an efficient way. If you know, in a lot of our subdivisions, somebody's weaving in and out and trying to get out, and they burn up half their travel time just getting out of their subdivision, where this is an efficient way of saying you're still going to have the feel of subdivision, but you can exit out quickly, hit this area, and be out. You know, we're having this urban section here is urban reserve, and urban is high density residential. It could be townhomes to multifamily. We don't know which one it will be. Then we have two pieces of commercial, and that's really probably the update to
Where's
this.
Where's the fire station site?
Well, the fire station site's right here, but actually it's been moved over here. We, in part of our conversations with the city, we requested that they consider moving the fire station site to this other corner. Makes it more efficient, more retail commercial here. It also allows the fire station to utilize a curb cut for exit this way or an interior if they ever build, when they build. Likelihood of them building a fire station before they annex, or it would be right before. It's kind of hard to convince city voters to spend money on a fire station that's outside the city limits, but it'll be on this side. This section is more envisioned to be more office service center type product. So if you know, you can put a fire station and do a design that makes that work a little better.
What happened to this hill?
The hill is going away.
Is it?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, the hill actually, it turns out, is that this hill, we need the dirt in the center for mm-hmm. detention and flood control. That most of this dirt of the grandstand hills and the banks were scraped out of the middle.
Okay.
And so one of the things in our, we will be needing to control flood and detention drainage is to push. This will be a detention mm-hmm. too. If you really kind of where my finger is about right here, that's the top of a hill.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so water's breaking away from that each time. So where you suddenly from here to here is about a 9-foot drop to the toe of the hill. Mm-hmm. So what we would be having is pushing water down into here. So we will eventually move this hill off, move this out. Now we won't be doing that for probably phase three. Mm-hmm. We guess, that's just a guess, but the hill will, all the hill will go, and we'll have a more of a gradual
crown
on yeah. it would be the
and all the sewer goes back this direction, right here. Correct?
Okay. That's right. If you'll see right here, these little boxes, there's one there. Where's the other one?
The other one's on the commercial track. But
right here? That's a private lift.
There's one lift station here. For the subdivision, and there's a private one for the commercial track.
That's right. So we'll actually lift sewer up and over this hill. But once it gets here, it'll be gravity all the way down. This and water, our second water line comes in here, where we have one water line coming in down here. And so this will have a looping water system to keep the water pressure up when you get to a certain number of lots.
And this will all be served by the Tower Point water tower? Or will they need a new water tower?
They're planning a new water tower. We're actually going through some of the updates to what they call their freeze and Nichols report. They had a big water study done and where the water tables, water pressures, and things like that, the city of College Station has planned a new water tower in that report that it will serve us.
Double Creek.
I don't know. Yeah, how they're going to do that? It could be.
It's going to be located. I think the water tower location is one of the locations over by the Scottmont Hospital. There's a lift station that was constructed, and I believe that may be the tower they're trying to reduce the pressure plane for this area of town. Because right now we're way low compared to everything else, and then be able to also supply more water. So,
I can't answer which tower is going to serve it, but they're going to be bringing more on, which is part of the capital improvement fees mm-hmm. or the impact fees that the city had, you know, they looked at. So that's this as our preliminary plan, and if we get this stamped pretty soon, I would say that we would be very quickly going to design on phase one, which...
Timeline.
Well, what we're going to be doing is starting the design on the off-site sewer line. We'll be starting that right away. Probably start this construction in May, June. This side over here, the first half of this section, well, maybe starting about the same time, a little bit later, maybe a couple months later, where we're trying to really get the first lots on the ground and when I say this construction, I'm talking about construction of delivery lots in October, November, or we'll push into 18, one of the two. Because your delivery time of lots is very, very important. There's a window to hit. So a lot of the stuff could be happening. 17, we'll be churning a lot of dirt.
How many lots do you expect to deliver?
This first section is 200 lots, and we do 100 lots at a time.
Awesome.
What's the total number of lots, Bill?
This right here shows 2025, roughly. And And let me tell you what, you know, that's what we have right now. What one of the things that you do in your planning process is you go with a for this type of product type, you go for a strongest density, your highest densities you can kind of muster up that your utilities, your land will handle. That allows you flexibility if the market changes. So if we get a little further down and the market is saying we need 60-foot lots, well, our density would actually go down. We can redesign for that. And when you go in back into cities, it's a lot easier to get less density approved than more density. So just the fact. And it's also is easier for your existing homeowners. You know, when they look over there and they say, you know, homeowners rarely have a problem going, man, you're putting less houses over there. You know, when they look over there and say, you know, and even though you can say this is a preliminary plan, homeowners will get it set in their mind. You said.
Yeah.
You know, so that's that. It is a, and plus we want to also know what the max amount of utility capacity could be and things like that. So it becomes a very flexible plan for us on the single family side.
So being in the ETJ, as all the subdivision rules and regulations for this development are, I mean, we're under all the cities.
Well, we are under cities. Because of the development agreement that we have.
The development agreement
the
we signed says, well, now we have certain carve outs in there for, you know, more specific, but as a general rule across the board, we build. This is going to look like, smell like.
Yep.
They're inside
the
city.
The city's going to take over the system eventually. They want to make sure that all the infrastructure is constructed.
Now, will there be.
And they'll inspect it.
Restrictions, neighborhood restrictions with an HOA and everything else?
Okay. Yes. And those will be prior to the first house being built.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll have architectural controls, CCRs, HOA. We're trying to finalize a couple of good amenity packages that don't affect the district. For these homeowners.
Gotta have a social chairman in the HOA.
Are you volunteering?
Nominate.
So, from the development side, that's one side of it. Y'all have any other questions on that? No. The second one is this week we have started a joint venture with Greens Prairie's investors. Wallace Phillips is here, who is joining us in the development of this project. Is Wallace and or as Greens Prairie, we're going to be basically 50-50 partners in, you know, getting those lots on the ground. And I guess today's an introduction. You got Wallace, another developer in the project.
Welcome.
So we have Wallace has actually taken personally a position in here of 178 acres, and we've got all the documentation done and stuff. So, and I'm very excited about it. He's done Castlegate, a number of others, and it's going to be make for a much stronger development team.
Excellent.
I agree.
Great. So really, that's my report.
Great. So from the district standpoint, the only thing we need to do today is we got our waivers of special appraisal. So as part of the district process, when we go to sell bonds, we get a waiver from the landowners that they're not going to claim any kind of special exemptions as to the district. That's so, you know, if we're going forward with the process to sell bonds to reimburse the developer, we can't have the developer declaring ag, you know, on their land. So they have agreed to waive their special appraisal only as to the district. And we've got that document today that's been signed by them, if you all could accept that. And we will eventually also assign the development financing agreement that is with Grid Raceplex over to a new development entity, but we're not going to do that today.
Okay.
We're not prepared today. So.
So do we have a motion to accept the waivers of special appraisal?
I'll move for that.
I second.
Been moved and seconded to accept the waivers of special appraisal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
No opposition. Motion passes to accept waivers of special appraisal.
We need to sign something for that.
Okay.
Are we ready to move on to item 11, the engineering matters? Engineering report.
Here we go. Here's four copies for y'all to table. And there's four customers.
I'm sorry.
All right, this is just an update on the existing contracts that we have. And we've got the master grading contract and the drainage impact analysis and the off-site trunking, water and sanitary sewer improvements. And basically just a quick summary is the master grading, what we're just talking about, and moving, trying to determine how much dirt we're really going to move and when and where. And so we're really on hold as we go finish out some of the phasing and make some final decisions on that right there. And the drainage impact, we've done a bunch of preliminary numbers to understand our actual pond sizes. And so now we're waiting to really finalize the preliminary plan to finalize that document. And then the offsite water and trunk, we've started, I guess, the design for the sanitary sewer and the water enough to get the for the condemnation process. And so now we're just waiting for approval to get moving on the offsite sewer. And what we're presenting today is the amendment for that contract, because what we've done is we've removed, because of the phasing scenario, we've removed the water line extension and the lift station out of this contract. And so all this contract contains now is the design for the offsite sanitary sewer. And so that's what we're presenting, is the amendment. This was done. We amended this contract back in April. So.
Developer signed off. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's a copy of the contract that we can see.
So that's the only action item necessary today for the board, right?
Yes,
so just the amendment to the contract?
Just the amendment, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, move that we accept the amendment to the contract.
Second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to accept the amendment to the engineering contract. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No opposition. Motion passes to accept the amendment. All right, moving on to item 12, meeting schedule and items for inclusion on the next agenda.
So that is sort of development-driven. I think sometime in the first quarter, we'll have to meet again, or probably
more of the, I'm just think off the top of my head, I would say probably February, March would be my guess, would be the next time we have a meeting.
Okay.
At that point, you'd probably be ready to move into the construction.
Yeah. We want to make it productive.
So we'll, if that's all right with y'all, we'll just contact y'all sometime first quarter, sometime Friday afternoon.
Sure.
Okay.
And Wallace is probably excited to get back on a tractor out here. So.
I am. A lot of dirt. Busy.
Item number 13, we're going to go ahead and convene and go into an executive session. I think y'all have done that before. Mm-hmm. We'll go ahead and go into executive session. Kristen, so you can turn off the recording.